So in teaching this morning, I want to go and try to get you out of here before 1:30. Eight things every believer should do. And we're going to start in 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Before we do that, let us pray, and then we'll go into this very simple teaching this morning. Father, we are so grateful for you, your word, all that you have given us in your Son, Christ Jesus, all that you gave us by putting him on the cross, his bloodshed for our sin, his burial with our sin, his being raised again without our sin, to life and justification in and by and through his work and nothing else. We cling to nothing here except for Jesus Christ and his finished cross work, his completed work. We not trust in our flesh. We have no confidence there. We not trust in man. We have no confidence there. We trust only in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins according to the Scripture, was buried, raised again the third day according to the Scripture. All our sin was placed up on him, and praise be unto God, they've been dealt with. They're forever gone, never to be charged to his body, ever. We give you the praise, honor, and glory in Christ's name. We say amen. All right. 2 Timothy and chapter 2. Paul's charging young Timothy here with some things, and I think it'd be good if we slow down and see these things. We're going to read out from 15 all the way over to the end in verse 26. We're going to pick up on eight things that every believer ought to do, should do, and hopefully you'll get something from this simple teaching. I know I did. I had a Bible study Wednesday night online with a fella, and I showed it to him, and we were both sharing and taking notes together, and so I think he was blessed by it, and don't know if he intends to preach it or teach it today, but he's got it from the notes that we both shared and put together. So anyway, let us go here to 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, whom are taken captive by him at his will. That's some pretty strong stuff, is it not? All right, so the first thing that every believer ought to do is what?
Study.
You ought to study, right? And we ain't talking about just something. We're talking about God's Word. I want to correct something here that I heard, and this was put on Facebook with a guy who friended me on Facebook, and I want to make straight my stance on it. He says people who are dispensationals, and he said, which I was one for 35 years. That scared me when he said I was one. He said for 35 years, and he said, I found out that they handle 2 Timothy 2:15 the wrong way. He said, when 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He said, what that's meaning is that you're dividing truth from error. Well, take your King James Bible and find me the error in it. That's not what it's saying. It's saying divide truth from truth. There's truth that was given to Moses that's not good for you. Right? There's truth that was given to the prophets, the sacrificial services that were given to those people back there. That's not something you ought to be doing today. It's still God's Word. It's still the truth in God's Word. But we have to rightly divide God's Word. So 2:15, and let me say this too, the modern versions, if you will, they take away that verse. They make it all this other stuff. What the Bible is clearly telling us that we should study to show ourselves approved, not unto man, but unto God. And we ought to be a workman that's not ashamed to rightly divide truth from truth. Right? The Bible is protected by the law of non-contradictory, right? It cannot, if it's rightly divided, contradict itself. It doesn't contradict itself by any means. It's contradictory when we don't rightly divide the word of truth. So you have to make the divisions where God made the divisions. If not, we'll find things in the Bible that say two different things. And things that are different are not the same. And you can't have a truth over here that you can't eat certain food. And over here you can eat whatever you want to eat and have those things to be the same even though they're both truth. Does that make sense to you? So in Leviticus 11, guess what? That ain't about you. It ain't to you. It was to those people that were under the dietary system. Paul says, whatever you want to eat, eat it. Just say thanks over it. That's what I'm going to do. That's where some people want to become dispensational right there. Right? Give me that ham. Give me that bacon, man. I'm on. I'm a dispensationalist today. When I pray over that food, I'll be a dispensationalist, right? So you got to understand it's to keep truth separated from truth because all truth is not to you, right? But it's all for you. So it's a simple verse and man gets a hold of it. Anybody ever found something man couldn't just absolutely mess up? Have you ever noticed? You take the best thing in the world and man will absolutely mess it up. And when he comes into the Bible with his preconceived notions that he's smarter than God, what does he do? We need to write another one. Now what you need to do is get this one and believe it. Amen? That's my taking off point this morning. That's my stance on it. We rightly divide the word of truth. It says nothing about error. It says rightly divide the word of truth. The whole book is true. Now rightly divide it, right? And we've learned something about doing that, have we not? All right, now look at the verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. All right, now what's the second thing we ought to do? We ought to shun some stuff, right? What about those vain babblings? Every time I turn the television on a religious channel, I hear vain babblings, right? You hear vain babblings? You know what that'll lead to? More ungodliness, right? Folks, if the devil ain't working through the Bible and through religion, if you ain't figured that out, you're way behind the clock, right? He is working through men. They are preaching another Jesus. They're preaching another spirit, right? They're preaching another gospel, and guess what? They're preaching another righteousness. And you know the righteousness that they're preaching? Is self-righteousness, right? And shun them. So the Bible says shun them. There's eight things in this chapter that if we'll do them, folks, I'll promise you, you're going to get ahead of where these people are. And that's not so that you can poke your chest out and be all proud like a peacock, but it's so you can protect yourself from the things that they teach. How many in here now could turn on a radio or a television and a guy goes in to preach or teach and it takes you how long to know whether or not he's where he ought to be? It'd take you less than a commercial, won't it? I used to have to study that guy for a week or two. Now I know just in a few minutes, man, it don't take long at all. Okay, he has no clue what he's talking about, right? As one said, well, the dispensationals, the problem I got with them, they don't think the Sermon on the Mount was to them. Amen. Amen. I don't live in Judea, right? I'm not a Jew. I wasn't under Christ's earthly ministry. So what, right? There's a guy that needs to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth, right? There's a guy that's got some truth in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6. It's the word of God. It's true. But guess what? It doesn't apply to me. I don't have an earthly home. I have a heavenly home. I'm not under a law. I'm not under a program that says, if you will, I will. I'm over here in grace, God's dispensation of grace. I have no condition on me whatsoever if I forgive Leonard or don't forgive Leonard, right? But over there, I have to forgive him. Why? Because the law said so. If I didn't forgive him, what would happen? I wouldn't get my sins forgiven, right? But God said, forgive one another, even as Christ has also forgiven you. Or God has forgiven you. For what? For Christ's sake. Right? So we're already forgiven. Is it good to go pray and beg God to do something he's already done? You need to shun those vain babblings. because it will lead to more ungodliness. Amen. When people talk, I want to set this straight too. Ungodliness.
Yeah.
Okay. There's more than one way to get there, right? But let me tell you the number one way. Get yourself in bad doctrine.
Yep.
And you know what you'll do?
Yep.
You'll be practicing what God's not doing. Well, it's in the Bible. Right? So was parting of the seas.
Yep.
Right? So was raising dead people.
Yep.
You start practicing all that business, and next thing you know, you're going to be doing what God's not doing. And what you'll do, you'll throw away the faith, right? So that you can establish your own faith based on something God is not doing today. That's ungodly. Right? There's a lot of ungodliness going on right now when the bell went off this morning. And I see they only see the world as ungodly. They don't see that system they're in being ungodly. I don't know about you, but I see the system as being ungodly. You know, folks, we're not going to stop the NWO. It's coming. Go ahead and prepare yourself. It's coming. If you're here, it's coming. You know what comes with that NWO? The New World Order? A one religious system. That's ungodly. Okay? What do they say? Just join up, man. It don't matter. Buckle up for love. Well, Paul said something different. He said, shun those vain babblings. I hear the babbling all the time when I turn on TV. Watch this. Verse 17 has something in it that is absolutely, I think, loaded. What? And their word will eat doth a canker, as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Did Paul just mark those two men? He marked them, didn't he? You see how he called them out? He said, look, those two guys are wrong, and he named them. But watch what I think is more powerful. Verse 17, and their word. What eats as a canker? Not God's word, their word. What do you get from pulpits? Their word. Huh? You watch them and listen to them, and what are you getting? They'll take a little bit of scripture and begin to give their word. That's why when I come here, I'm settled on showing you the scripture. Right? That's what Christ did. He goes over there in the Gospels. He quotes what's written. He reads what's written, shuts the book. There's your preaching. It's written, right? He didn't stumble. He didn't go over here and go off on something. He said, here it is. This is what the Word says. That's what we attempt to do. It's God's Word. It's God's Word that builds up. It's man's Word that doth a canker. Do you know that people are cankered up with man's Word? You try showing them God's Word, and they can't get it because they're eat up with man's Word. And when you show them God's Word, they run to the man to say, hey, what do you think about this? The guy that cankered them up, right? It eats away at them to know that there's a word above their pastor's word. But can I tell you, God's word is above every man's word. This is not the thoughts of men. This is God and Him dealing with us through doctrine. The word that people hate, man, you better get it. You better get it. It's doctrine. You better get it. We don't want nothing to do with that. We want a love club. We all come together and just love one another. Let's throw out the doctrine because doctrine will separate us. What's Paul telling us to do? Right? You follow the rest of this, you're going to see it. Their word eats as a canker. Man, I said under that forever. Their word. Their word. Now watch verse 18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, when men come with their word and they don't come with God's word rightly divided, they don't get the timeline right, do they? See, these men didn't know when the resurrection was. See, they had already erred from the truth. When you take the truth, these people out here preaching there's no rapture, all that is a lie, all that, you know what they've missed? The mystery. You know what you're getting now? Their word. You're not getting God's word rightly divided. You're getting what they think about the subject. I'm not confused about the timeline and the church, the body of Christ, departing and then God beginning to deal with the prophetic program again. I'm not confused about that. I'm past that. You know why? Because I took God's word. You know when I got confused with that? When I took their word. They got the rapture in Matthew 24. There's no rapture in Matthew 24. That's Him coming back to earth, folks. That's when all hell's going to break loose on this earth when Christ comes back to step on the enemy's head. Right? Are you with me? I mean, this whole thing, right dividing the word of truth, we read that verse and it goes further. It goes further. It'll help you, man. Watch this. Look at 19. He said they err concerning the truth, sent the resurrection of Passover, and they overthrown the faith of some. Do you know how many of us came out of a place that our faith had been overthrown? We really did not know if we were coming or going. We really did not know the beginning and the end to say, oh, I see how that works. I see how that operates now. I can see how God interrupted something, how He gave Paul a special message to the church, the body of Christ, that we can see when we started, when we leave, and then what happens after that. Most people have just put it all together and they're trying to pick through it using their own word. Right? And it eats as does a canker. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. Even if you're messed up, He knows who His are, right? Even if you got carried off into bad doctrine, like some of us did, He still knows who you are. You might be missing exactly what He's doing today, but He still knows who you are. You may not know that you're leaving in a rapture. You might not even believe you're going to leave in a rapture, but the Lord knows who you are. And I'll guarantee you, when He comes out in a cloud, if you're saved, you're losing gravity. Amen. You ain't going to be able to hold on to the bass boat, brother. Right? The Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What should you do there? Depart. Going a little further here. He said depart from iniquity. What do we think? As soon as we see that word, what do we think? We don't think of the mystery of iniquity, do we? We think about the guy here that's doing this, doing this, doing this. Paul's referring to that iniquity that comes out of those assemblies. He's referring to those. I'm not telling you that iniquity is not iniquity. Don't get me wrong. But the mystery of this iniquity is how God was manifested in the flesh, has manifested Himself into us. That's the godliness, the manifestation of godliness, the mystery of godliness. So what the enemy is doing, he's trying to manifest ungodliness, and he is through what? Through men, right? Preaching another gospel, preaching another Jesus, preaching another righteousness, delivering another spirit, right? That, folks, you need to get a hold of this because you don't know your enemy. You're not prepared for him, right? And a lot of people don't know their enemy. They think it's the person sitting in the pew beside them. And your enemy is the one with the crafty measures to draw you off into this stuff. Paul said, depart from that stuff. Well, I've got some brethren that disagree with me on this. But I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway because we pay the rent here. Right? I educate people to leave those places that don't rightly divide the word of truth. Why? Because it's iniquity. For a man to get up and preach his own word, that's iniquity. It eats as does a cat. Canker. You need to get away from it. If you don't depart from that system will remain in you. You'll not get away from what Paul's going to show you here. Watch here in verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So what should he do in verse 21? He needs to purge himself. You're not purging your sin. What you're purging is that stuff to separate from. If you were to purge something, it means you're going to take away something. Sewage, right? You're gonna separate. You're gonna purge by separating from it. Okay? As long as you're holding on to a religious system, as long as you're holding on to what God's not doing, you're not purging yourself. When you separate from that and then get to a place where you begin to unlearn the stuff that was put in you, the iniquity that was put in you, the false doctrine that was put in you, now you can begin to do what? Put pure doctrine in you. And I'm going to show you these things as we go forward. All right, now watch. He said a vessel to honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. When he says if he should purge himself from these things, I believe he's speaking of the wood and of the earth, the things that are not of the Spirit, the things that are not gold and silver. And they're laid out in this entire chapter. So what you have in this chapter is you have things of the Spirit, but you also have things of the flesh. And those two are contrary one to the other. And he's saying purge yourself according to those things of the flesh, right? But hold on to that which is good, right? You're going to hold on to the sound doctrine. And so you need to understand what Paul is saying here. Now watch this. Flee also useful lusts. What should he do in verse 22? Yeah, what does that mean? Anybody have a clue? It don't sound like he ought to walk casually away from it. It sounds like he needs to really make some headway and get away from it, right? It'd be like me seeing a copperhead snake out here in the yard. I'm going to flee, right? I'm not walking away. If he better be fast if he's going to catch me, brother. Because I'm leaving. I'm fleeing. All right? Just to give you an analogy, flee it. Flee it. Depart. To leave. To hasten away. That's what it stands for, right? Get away from it. The Bible doesn't mince words, does it? All right? Now watch here the rest of that verse. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So what should he do there? He should follow something, right? What should he follow? Yeah, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to get a new shirt and a tie and some alligator shoes and some black pants and I'm going to put on a white shirt so I look called. No. Stop what you're doing. You're going to follow sound doctrine, right? You're going to hear what the Lord has said to you. You're going to let that be built up in you that He might work effectually in you because you believe it. And then your will is surrendered unto the Word of God and the doctrine that you've taken in that therefore you might follow righteousness. Amen? You with me? God's Word is righteous. God Himself is all righteous. He's wanting you to follow the Word. And these people that talk about walking after Jesus, they never stop to think about what they're saying when they're walking after Jesus. They're walking after Jesus according to His earthly ministry to Israel. And we're going to follow. Folks, did you not know that God took Him back to glory and set Him at His own right hand? You're going to follow Jesus today through the pen of the Apostle Paul written directly to you and for you. That's how you're going to follow Christ today. Okay? How many people are truly doing that? Well, it's our job to tell them whether or not they listen or not, right? So he said, follow after righteousness. Then he gives you some things there behind that. Watch this. He says, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the name of the Lord. That's all righteousness, but it's not generated by you. It's generated by the Spirit, right? Are you with me? Do you see how this stuff protects you from the silly stuff that's out there in Never Never Land, right? Look down at the next verse, verse 23. I'm right on target, right? But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. What are you supposed to do in that verse? Avoid. Well, I wonder if Jesus liked football over soccer. Where did Cain get his wife? Yeah, stupid stuff. Don't ask those questions. You go to have a Bible study and somebody asks you how many planets there are and do you believe there's a form of life? That's not in the Bible, man. Let's stay with the Bible. Paul says, get away from that garbage. Get away from all that science talk, right? People do that, man. Even in this circle that we're in, folks, and rightly divide the word of truth, they'll go out here and start bringing in stuff that's unlearned, that you can't learn it even in the Scripture. I don't have time for that stuff, right? I barely have time to do what I'm doing. And why am I going to get caught up in some formula, right, that's unlearned? You know, did Jesus hurt as a kid? You know, what if he stomped his toe? All I know is he was Jesus, right? You know, they get silly about stuff, man. And you can't explain that, as in that's going to dispel the Word of God because I can't answer if Jesus liked, you know, pork and beans over something else. What does that got to do with anything, man? Let's talk about the Bible, right? You see that? Avoid that mess. Absolutely avoid it. I'll show you some more things to avoid. All right, now watch this. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle. Folks, there's the one I struggle with a lot. He said, be gentle. And I sometimes don't get that done. I have gotten some better, but watch this. He said, a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto how many men? All men apt to teach, patient. I struggle with that sometimes, right? Even teaching sometimes I struggle with. What? In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Right? Now that doesn't mean we're talking about a lost person, folks. That's somebody that's been taken in the snare of the devil through a religious system, and Paul's saying, be gentle with them, teach them, show them, give them the word that God may give them repentance, a change of mind to sit and say, I've been captured. Oh man, I was under that system. I was captive to a denomination. I was captive to a man's tradition. Right? All right, watch this. That they may recover themselves. God going to do it for them? Mm-mm. You're going to believe the Word of God or you're not. And if you'll believe the Word of God, you'll recover yourself. How many did that? Yeah. Oh, thank God. Thank God I saw the fallacy of this thing, man. I saw that what I had been under from a child, I saw what I'd been under in church tradition was absolutely wrong. Yep. Right? It wasn't right. They might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. See how that works? Devil gets you into that system, man. He's got you right where he wants you. Right? What's the answer? Come to Paul's letters and learn who you are in Christ. Go back over and look at Romans real quick. Look at Romans chapter 16. Look at verse 17 when you get there. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what?
Avoid
them. You see the word avoid there, right? Did we put that on our list? He said, not only do you avoid them, but you do what? Know who they are, right? Now that don't mean you wish them to die in a car wreck. And that don't mean that you don't have a heart for them, that you don't care for them, that you're not going to pray for them. That just means know who they are, know what they're teaching, and if they're going to stay in that mode, avoid them. Stay away from them, right? Now, if he wants to come to the truth, and he wants to receive the truth, and he wants to share in the truth, then amen, you can receive him back. But as long as he's in that method, as long as he's in that mode, mark him, know who he is, like Paul marked those two back there, Hymenaeus and Philetus, he marked them, right? Then just stay away. No good's going to come out of you buckling up with someone who is preaching a man-made system, a man-made doctrine, a man-made denomination, a man-made religion. No good's going to come out of you. Don't even attempt it. Right? Show them the word of truth and love. Be gentle, patient, and then let it ride. It's the Spirit's job from that standpoint. And if that man wants to remain a heretic, then let him ride. Right? That's what you got to do, folks. Now watch this. For they are such which serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Right? And by good words and fair speeches, remember, their word eat as doth a canker. What does it say there? And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Oh man, you hear them, all those fancy speeches that they give, calling it God's word. Right? They go on and on and on with it. Look at Ephesians real quick. Look at chapter 4 when you get there. There's some things that Paul gave the Ephesians that he couldn't give to the Corinthians for two reasons. One, Paul had to get the stuff by revelation from Christ, and he got that progressively. Two, the Corinthians couldn't bear it anyway. They were babes in Christ, right? All right, so watch here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of what? You think doctrine's important in this thing? By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to do what? Now watch. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him and all things which is the head, even Christ. See that? So in one verse, you've got men that you need to be careful with. And then he tells us what to do. We need to keep on speaking the truth. And we need to do it in love. The truth that we have discovered by rightly dividing the word of truth. Look back at 2 Timothy. Now, Paul gives a great manner and a charge to Timothy in chapter 2 because he is setting Timothy up for something to understand. And we better take heed as well. All right? So watch chapter 3. Paul just charges Timothy. He said, Timothy, study, shun, depart, purge, flee, follow, avoid. He said, be gentle. Watch. 3:1. This know also in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Man, this is right up to date. Morning news, isn't it? Morning news at almost 12 o'clock today. Right there you hit it, man. What? Without natural affection? I mean, think about it. There's people out here can take a life and never even take a breath over it. They just take a life and never even, just like it's nothing to it. Just ride by and shoot people up and never care. What? Truce breakers, false accusers, and contentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, I like that, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You see that? There's people who spend a lifetime in the Bible, a lifetime teaching, a lifetime preaching, who never come to the knowledge of the truth. And some of them are doing it so that they can heap up on their own flesh. They're doing it for filthy lucre's sake. They're doing it because it's an occupation. They're doing it because they get paid. They want to get paid more. I have never, all the years that I've been around church life, I've never heard a pastor leaving a small church for a smaller church. They always leave the small church for the bigger church. Think about that. I don't get my $300 a week over here, but I bet if I got over there, you know. You can say that don't play into the equation if you want to, hogwash. There are many men out there doing it, and they wouldn't know what to do if you took away their paycheck today. I heard an old Baptist preacher years ago say, if you want to find out who really is in it for God, take away the paycheck for 6 months, and you'll find out who keeps preaching and who stops. I guarantee you, I agree with that man on that, right? He dead and gone on, but I agree with him on that. All right, let's look at some reasons here that we've got to hold on, folks, to this truth. Why we should have that in our life functional. Look over at Romans chapter 6. I'll finish on just a few things, just a few tidbits here to show you this. The system out there is built to restrain you. The system out there is built to fix your flesh. Right? It really is. It's to get you right in your conduct. It's to get you doing what man wants to observe you doing. It's when we learn who we are in Christ, our identity, that's when the results of our conduct will follow once we learn who we are in identity in Christ, right? It's how we function, and we're able to do that because of the Word of God in us, the Spirit of God in us, because we're free, right? So look here in Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 15. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And he is not speaking of death, a physical death there, right? He is speaking you becoming dead to the Spirit of God and the things of the Spirit, that the Spirit work through you, right, to achieve what God wants in you, okay? Now, watch the next verse. But God be thanked. Now, who's he speaking to here? He's speaking to saved people, folks. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have what? Obeyed from the heart that form, see that? Of what? Boy, you better not throw that word away. That's the one that religion hates. We're going to preach Jesus. We're not going to be concerned with doctrine. Well, I'll show you what leads to that. All right? He said, watch this, that obeyed from the heart from the doctrine which was delivered what? Now watch what happens when you obey the doctrine. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. What did Paul say we should follow after? Righteousness. You're not going to do that till you're freed, man. Right? And it's not just talking about your salvation free from sin. He's talking about you being free from sin as a believer. And that's what he was saying to them. Now that you are free to live under the grace program that God's given us, you can now be a servant of righteousness, a servant of God Almighty. You couldn't do it before. You can't do it by the law. Right? All right, let me show you something about the results of this thing. Go back and look at... I've got a note messed up bad here somewhere. I think it's 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, go look. I don't think I've got the right note. That's horrible. Pop to Galatians. Go to Galatians. Go to Galatians. When you get there, go to chapter 3. Watch here in chapter 3 and look at verse 1. Folks, it's as simple as you can put it. We are foolish if we don't take advantage in our believing lives of the things which we saw in 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're foolish, right? Because watch, look in Galatians chapter 3, look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? What did Paul say obey over there in Romans? The doctrine, right? The truth is in the doctrine delivered unto us. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth and crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by what? The flesh? Paul said the system is no good to you. The flesh is no good to you. It's the Spirit. It's in what I delivered unto you, Timothy. I charge you to study, to shun, to depart, to purge, to flee, to follow, to avoid. Be gentle. I charge you. That's where it comes from, man. Right? Look over at chapter 5. And we're going to finish on two verses. Chapter 5. And here's Paul's going to show you this flesh thing real quick. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall not profit you nothing, shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become none effect to you, whosoever you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. Was Paul telling Timothy to go follow the law? To go do this? No. Paul was charging him that he would study. He would shun the things that are babbled off, these guys trying to be law keepers. Shun it. Avoid them. Mark them. It's contrary to the doctrine in which I gave you. I might have just found the note I was looking for written at the top of that chapter. Look at 2 Corinthians again. Look at 2 Corinthians. Does anybody in this room, if you come to the place in your heart and in your mind that the liberty you have in Christ and where you are today and where you were under that old program, is it just not uplifting to you to know? Isn't it? When you started studying that word, you started shunning that mess and you departed from it and you purged yourself of that garbage and you fleed from it and you started following after the books of Paul and understand who you are in Christ, you avoided and marked the people who were telling you to do contrary. And then, of course, we've got to learn on that. Be gentle down there. We've got some work to do there, right? Look over in chapter 3. And look in, when you get there, look at verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where's the Spirit of the Lord? He's in us. We got some liberty. Right? Reminds me of the last verse today I want to show you. Go back to Galatians. Paul was not charging Timothy to couple up with a religious program. He didn't say, Timothy, I hold fast that you better go get involved with that group. Paul was preparing Timothy to stand because it was all going to come against him. Right? Paul was telling Timothy, Timothy, you better be a good soldier, son, because let me tell you why. You're not going to be popular. Right? When you start giving this truth, the way we give this truth and many others give this truth, guess what happens to the number? It shrinks. Paul was warning Timothy, the number is going to be against you, Timothy. If it were going to be easy and we build a big building with a paid parking lot and thousands flock to it, Timothy, I'll tell you what, just make sure you preach tithing, son. No, he charged him. He charged him that it's coming against you. The system will be against you, Timothy. It's going to be tough, son. Look at what I went through. All those in Asia have turned from me. Don't think it's going to be payday, heyday, Timothy. It's going to be war, son. That's what he was charging him. He was preparing that mind of Timothy's. What are we seeing all around us, folks? We're not popular. And they'll fight you tooth and nail over their water. Right? Watch here with Paul. And we'll read chapter 2 here just a little bit with Paul. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. That was Paul being gentle. Right? That was Paul saying, look, I didn't go up there to wreck the boat. I went up there to do this thing by revelation. I went up there so I wouldn't run in vain. I didn't go up there and hit them all over the head with a stick, preaching hellfire and brimstone. You know, that's not what he was doing. What? But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Now, Titus really had a hold of the Word of God, because otherwise he would have thought he should have been, right? So he really knew what Paul had taught him. Watch this. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul said, I didn't give them rats a minute, brother, to take away my liberty that I have in Christ. I didn't surrender. I didn't say, well, guess what? In order to be part of your crowd and we can fill up the pew, I think I'll give in with you guys up here. Paul said, no. Here's the Word of God. You either take it or you leave it. Right? Paul's number shrunk. All those in Asia have departed from him. They turned from him. Right? You know what? Because Paul studied, he shunned, he departed, he purged, he fled, he followed, he avoided, he was gentle. He said, this is the program God gave me. That's 8 things that every one of us should do. Right? We can do that. Right? If you disagree, then read. Right? So with that being said, I'll stop right there, right at 12 o'clock. And we'll pray, dismiss. If anybody were to have a question, we'll answer it. If not, then that means you got it all down pat and you're good to go. All right, let us pray. Father, we are so grateful for this another day to teach and another day to come to your word. Thank God for everyone here that supports this ministry. They give, they pray, they show up. And because of that, you've been able to use us to reach many, many people. We give you all the praise, thanks, honor, and glory. And we pray that there's anybody out there today that might view this video, if they've never trusted Christ and Him alone by faith, how He died for their sins according to the Scripture, was buried and raised again the third day according to Scripture, today would be that day. Add nothing to, take nothing away, simply trust and believe. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. All right.